Welcome to Classes of Male. Before you listen, you should know that Alan Gygax is not in any sense an official spokesman for the post office, the NALC, or anybody else. His opinions are inherently his own and should probably be disregarded. Same for his guests. Any information you hear on this podcast could be wrong and should not be relied upon for any reason. Enjoy the show.
Hey everybody, welcome to another episode of Classes of Male. My name is Alan Gygax, and it is time to dig into Article 8 as we are reading through the entire JCAM. Hopefully we finish this one before we get a new contract. No, hopefully we don't finish this one before we get a new contract, because I'd like to get a new contract without waiting almost 2 years this time. So we'll see. In any case, it'll be a while to get a JCAM after that, and not much will change. The important thing is, let's read the JCAM. So we pick up where we left off. We are starting Article 8. This is the article that governs how our overtime is supposed to be distributed and what our workday is. And so this is a very important article for stewards, because this is where the lion's share of their grievances are going to come from, at least the ones that aren't discipline related. And so for carriers, it's also very important to understand this article, because this is where your rights come from for how overtime is supposed to be distributed. And that way you'll know whether you're being violated or not. So with that said, let's get into it. 8.1, Section 1, Work Week. The work week for full-time regulars shall be 40 hours per week, 8 hours per day, within 10 consecutive hours, provided, however, that in all offices with more than 100 full-time employees in the bargaining units, the normal work week for full-time regular employees will be 40 hours per week, 8 hours per day, within 9 consecutive hours. Shorter work weeks will, however, exist as needed for part-time regulars. All right, so here it is right here. This is your work hour guarantee. You get 8 hours. If it's a work day, you get 8 hours, and you get 40 hours per week. So anything less than that, that's a grievance if you're not taking leave. 8.2, Section 2, Work Schedules. A, the employee's service week shall be a calendar week beginning at 12:01 a.m. Saturday and ending at 12 midnight the following Friday. So there you go. That's where we get our Saturday through Friday work week. B, the employee's service day is the calendar day on which the majority of work is scheduled. Where the work schedule is distributed evenly over 2 calendar days, the service day is the calendar day on which such work schedule begins. My recollection from reading this last time is that there's a fair amount of ink spilled on like how it works if you work past midnight. Generally, we work on a tour that does not have that issue, so we don't want to worry about that too much. C, the employee's normal work week is 5 service days, each consisting of 8 hours within 10 consecutive hours, except as provided in Section 1 of this article. As far as practicable, the 5 days shall be consecutive days within the service week. So this is the default for your schedule, but your local agreement will determine when your days off are, and in many cases it is quite simply not practicable because we deliver 6 days a week and we work 5. D, this is new. Full-time employees who are not on an overtime desired list or on the work assignment list shall not be required to work beyond 11.5 hours of work in a day or 60 hours of work in a service week, and shall not be subject to disciplinary action for terminating their tour of duty when these limits on hours of work are reached. So this is kind of, to me, this should be the default. Like, forget 11.5 hours. If you're not on the overtime list, you shouldn't be required to work past 8 hours. But in some cases, mandating, forcing someone to work overtime is allowed, and we're going to get into when that's allowed. Just to digress quickly, one of the things that carriers talk about is, you know, if management's just going to keep forcing us to work overtime list like this, we should all get off the overtime list. The problem with that is that now gives management carte blanche to mandate. Like, it's reasonable that sometimes there needs to be overtime, and what management is supposed to do is give overtime to the carriers who want it, and not give it to the people who don't want it. And that's where all the grievances come from. So suddenly, if there is no one who wants it, they still have to give that overtime out. And so they force people who don't want it to work overtime. And that's what we're trying to avoid. So we'll get into the rules about how they are supposed to manage that later on in Article 8. All right, now we get to the commentary. The JCAM commentary, not my own commentary. Service week. Article 8.2.A defines the service week as of bargaining unit employee. Start over. Article 8.2.A defines the service week of bargaining unit employees. The service week begins at 12:01 a.m. Saturday and ends at 12 midnight the following Friday. During the service week, dude, have I suddenly lost the ability to read? Defining the service week enables the parties to make and enforce rules about weekly hours guarantees, limits on weekly work hours, overtime paid for work over a certain number of hours during service week, etc. The service week is not necessarily the same as a week for vacation planning purposes, Article 10.3.E. The FLSA work week also has different definition. Article 8.4, FLSA overtime. That's the Fair Labor Standards Act. We will get into that later. Service day. Article 8.2.B defines the service day for pay and overtime purposes. The definition is more important for employees in other crafts than for letter carriers who are seldom scheduled to work past midnight into another calendar day. The service day is defined as the calendar day on which the majority of work is scheduled. Where the work schedule is distributed evenly over two calendar days, the service day is the calendar day on which such work schedule begins. Full-time employee schedules. Read together, Article 8, Sections 1 and 2, Point C, provide that the work week for all full-time carriers, i.e. full-time regulars and full-time flexibles, including unassigned carriers, reserve regulars, and carrier technicians, consists of 5 days, 40 hours per week, and 8 hours per day within 10 consecutive hours. Additionally, in all offices with more than 100 full-time employees in the bargaining units, the 8 hours per day must be within 9 consecutive hours. All right, so in addition to this, I will add that if you are an unassigned regular or if you are a reserve regular, like here they call that a vacation relief, you still have a schedule. Yes, you get 5 days, you get 8 hours per day, you get 40 hours, but the schedule is supposed to be posted by Wednesday, and that's your schedule. And in fact, you should have a regular schedule if you are a full-time regular, where you're going to have the same designated day off, whether it's fixed or rotating, each week. Moving on, days off. Oh, it'll probably be covered right here. The schedule of a regular employee must include fixed or rotating days off on a permanent basis, Article 30.B.2. So again, if you're one of those unassigned regulars or a vacation relief or whatever, you have a default schedule, and it must include fixed or rotating days off on a permanent basis. So that schedule does not change from week to week. And to go a step further, this is why, let's say you're a reserve regular, what we call here a vacation relief. So you have your schedule, but most of the time you're going to be like opting on another route. So when you opt on that other route, there is now a vacant reserve regular schedule that can then be opted on by a CCA. So on my station, when a vacation relief opts on somebody, you know, some nice route when somebody's going on vacation, let's say they're out for 5 weeks because of kidney cancer surgery, then the vacation relief who opted on that route, now their vacation relief regular schedule is now open and a CCA can opt on that. And while they're not assigned to a particular route, they do at least have a regular schedule. And that's a big deal if you're a CCA. So, you know, this is something to think about if you're a newer carrier and you're going to be opting. It's not just the regular routes that become available. Sometimes if the person ahead of you opts on that route, then you can opt on, you know, their vacation relief that is now vacant. All right, moving on. As far as practicable, the 5 days of an employee's fixed regular schedule must be consecutive days within the service week, Article 8.2.C. 5-minute leeway rule. Regardless of exactly what an employee's regular schedule is, there is the question of whether the employee is compensated for all time worked at either the straight time or the overtime rate, whichever is applicable, Article 8.4. This issue often arises in regard to the 5-minute leeway rule contained in the F-21 handbook, incorporated into the national agreement through the provisions of Article 19. Once an employee's time on the clock exceeds the employee's established work schedule for that day by more than 5 minutes, the total time for that day becomes payable time. In an effort to avoid additional costs and administrative burdens, the Postal Service tries to ensure that an employee does not accumulate a daily total of more than 5 minutes of clock time in excess of the employee's scheduled work time, unless, of course, the employee is assigned to work overtime. All right, so if you clock out a couple of minutes late, it's not a big deal. You're not going to get dinged for unauthorized overtime. We have this 5-minute leeway. What it doesn't say here, and it's worth noting, is that that 5-minute leeway works in the other direction as well. If you work 7 hours and 55 minutes, you get credit for 8 hours. And I've used this sometimes to leave work a couple minutes early. It also accounts for clocking in a couple of minutes late. We have this 5-minute leeway where your tour is still counted as 5 hours, as long as you're within 5 minutes, or counted as 8 hours, as long as you're within 5 minutes of those 8 hours. Work hour limits. As stated in Section 8.2.D, full-time employees who are not on an overtime desired list or on the work assignment list, who reach 11 and a half hours of work in a day or 60 hours of work in a service week, shall not be subject to disciplinary action for terminating their tour of duty when these limits on hours of work are reached. So, yeah, you hit that 11 and a half hours, and you can tell them to fuck right off, I'm going home. Now, you can be disciplined for telling them to fuck right off, but you can't be disciplined for ending your tour. 8.3. Oh, by the way, a CCA is not on the overtime desired list or on the work assignment list, and so I'm pretty sure my interpretation is accurate that they can also end their tour at 11 and a half hours without discipline. 8.3. Section 3, exceptions. The above shall not apply to part-time employees. Part-time employees will be scheduled in accordance with the above rules, except that they may be scheduled for less than 8 hours per service day and less than 40 hours per normal work week. All PTFs will be guaranteed a minimum of 1 non-scheduled day each serviced week, except during the penalty overtime exclusion period. That would be December. Management will notify PTF employees of their assigned scheduled a non-scheduled day by the Wednesday preceding the service week. CCA employees will be scheduled in accordance with Section 2 A and B of this article. All CCAs will be guaranteed a minimum of 1 non-scheduled day each service week, except during the penalty exclusion period. Management will notify CCAs of their non-scheduled day by the Wednesday preceding the service week. So the schedule has to be up by Wednesday. And so even if you're a PTF or a CCA, you're going to look on there and see what your day off is. And while it's not guaranteed that your schedule won't change, you are still guaranteed a minimum of 1 non-scheduled day. So if you work 7 straight days, that's a grievance that you should have gotten your guaranteed non-scheduled day. Part-time regulars. Articles 8.1 and 8.2 apply to part-time regulars, except that their regular schedule may be less than 8 hours per service day and less than 40 hours per normal work week. The Postal Service may not create part-time regular assignments with 6-day schedules. And there's a citation here. Work schedules of part-time, flexible, and city carrier assistant employees. Article 8.3 makes clear that the normal work week defined by Article 8.2.C does not apply to PTFs or CCAs who have no daily 8-hour or weekly 40-hour guarantees. Moreover, the language in Article 7.1.8.2 provides that PTFs, quote, shall be available to work flexible hours as assigned by the employer during the course of a service week. This means which means PTFs may be scheduled to work more or less than 5 days per week and more or less than 8 hours per day, with the exception of the work hour limitations outlined in the MOU regarding new employee experience, retention, and mentoring program. The same rule applies to CCAs. CCAs and PTFs are guaranteed a minimum of 1 non-scheduled day each service week, except during the penalty overtime exclusion period. However, those individuals may volunteer to work beyond 6 days per week if they choose, as long as they stay within the work hour limitations outlined in the MOU regarding new employee experience, retention, and mentoring program. Standby. Guys, listen close, especially if you are a CCA. PTFs and CCAs may not be required to remain on standby or remain at home for a call-in on the days they are not scheduled to work. I'm going to read that again. Standby. PTFs and CCAs may not be required to remain on standby or remain at home for a call-in on days they are not scheduled to work. So when that schedule says you're off tomorrow, you're off tomorrow. And when management tries to call you and tell you to come in, do not answer your phone. Do not answer your phone. You are not required to be on standby. I have seen schedules where management will literally write in the box next to the CCA, standby. No, that is a violation. If you are off that day, you are off that day. You have no obligation. Breaks. PTFs and CCAs receive the same rest breaks as full-time letter carriers when they work 8 hours or more in a service day. When PTFs and CCAs work only a portion of the day, less than 8 hours, they receive one rest break if the employee works less than 6 hours, and two rest breaks if the employee works 6 hours or more. It does not say what you get for lunch. As far as I know, lunch is taken away as soon as you hit 6 hours, but that's not what it says here. Maybe it's addressed in another area. Overtime, PTFs and CCAs. The overtime rate provisions of Article 8.4.B regarding work in excess of 8 hours in a service day or 40 hours in a service week do apply to PTFs and CCAs, as well as bargaining unit employees. Article 8.4.B. 8.4, Section 4, Overtime Work. A, overtime pay is to be paid at the rate of 1.5 times the hourly base straight time rate. The preceding paragraph, Article 8.4.A, shall apply to city carrier assistant employees. B, overtime pay or overtime shall be paid to employees for work performed only after 8 hours on duty in any one service day or 40 hours in any one service week. Nothing in this section shall be construed by the parties or any reviewing authority to deny the payment of overtime to employees for work outside of their regularly scheduled work week at the request of the employer. All right, this may come up in the commentary, but I want to address it right now. This is why, let's say your scheduled day off is Tuesday and management tells you to come in and work on Tuesday. That's the caveat, at the request of the employer. Management tells you to come in on Tuesday. Well, you're not over 40 hours for the week yet, and you're not over 8 hours for the day. But that Tuesday, if you're a full-time regular, is all overtime because it is outside of your regularly scheduled work week at the request of the employer. This is also how it accounts for the temporary schedule change for your own convenience. Like if your day off is Tuesday and you say, hey, I need to be off Thursday this week, can I come in Tuesday and then make my day off Thursday? Yeah, no problem. That doesn't incur overtime because of this provision. C, penalty overtime pay is to be paid at the rate of 2 times the base hourly straight time rate. The penalty overtime pay will not be paid for any hours worked in the month of December. The preceding paragraph, Article 8.4.C, shall apply to city carrier assistant employees. You know, this wording in 8.4.C, I think, needs to be cleaned up a little bit because generally elsewhere in the contract, elsewhere in this section, it's referred to as the penalty overtime exclusion period, but this says penalty overtime will not be paid for any hours worked in the month of December. So on a plain reading of this, you know, even if the penalty overtime exclusion period doesn't start until December 3rd, if you work penalty overtime on December 1st, you shouldn't get paid because it's still in the month of December. I mean, I know the way it's enacted, the way this is enforced, is it's just that 4-week exclusion period, but I don't like the way this is worded. It should read the way that everything else does, the exclusion period. Oh, well. Postal overtime. All bargaining unit employees are paid postal overtime for time spent in a pay status in excess of 8 hours in a service day and or in excess of 40 hours in a service week. Hours in pay status include hours of actual work and hours of paid leave. So this is why if Monday is the holiday and you get holiday pay, that's 8 hours in a paid status. Likewise, if you call in sick on Monday, that is 8 hours in a paid status, and that counts toward your 40 hours in a week. Postal overtime pay rate. The contractual overtime rate of pay is 1.5 times the base straight time rate. The overtime rate for PTFs is the same as the overtime rate for full-time regular employees in the same step and grade. This rate is slightly less than 1.5 times the PTF base straight time hourly rate. This is a consequence of PTFs receiving a slightly higher regular straight time hourly rate than full-time regulars in order to compensate them for not receiving paid holidays, Article 11.7. FLSA overtime. Totally independent of the contract are those provisions of the Federal Fair Labor Standards Act governing overtime for all bargaining unit employees who actually work more than 40 hours during the employee's FLSA work week. The FLSA overtime rate is 1.5 times the employee's regular rate of pay for all hours of actual work in excess of 40 hours in the FLSA work week. The regular rate of pay is computed by adding the employee's total compensation, including night differential, Sunday premium, territorial COLA, and higher level pay, and excluding pay for leave hours, contract overtime pay, out of schedule premium pay, and penalty overtime pay. For all hours actually worked, excluding paid leave hours, but including steward duty time and time off authorized under the 701 rule. During the FLSA work week, and then dividing the dollar total by the number of hours the employee actually worked during the FLSA work week. Detailed FLSA overtime regulations can be found in ELM section 443. Because certain pay premiums are included in the calculation of the FLSA overtime rate, an employee may receive a higher rate of pay for FLSA overtime than for postal overtime. Guys, that's complicated. So, I don't know. For the most part, don't worry about it. That's probably all done by a computer, and they should be able to figure that out. But if you're concerned that you're not getting paid proper overtime, for maybe you worked overtime on a Sunday and you felt like it should have been higher because of Sunday premium, you know, something like that, I don't know. It's worth looking into if you think this issue is coming up, because I wouldn't put it past management to fuck that up. Penalty overtime rate. The penalty overtime rate is 2 times the employee's base straight time hourly rate. Article 8.4.E provides that, excluding December, PTFs and CCAs are paid at the penalty overtime rate for all work in excess of 10 hours in a service day or 56 hours in a service week. Article 8.4.D provides that full-time regular employees will be paid at the penalty overtime rate for any overtime work in contravention of the restrictions in Article 8.5.F. For the purposes of the application of Article 8, Sections 4 and 5 of the National Agreement, quote, December, end quote, consists of 4 consecutive service weeks, which are identified each year in the Postal Bulletin and hereafter referred to as the penalty overtime exclusion period. All right, so that answers that addresses the issue that I had earlier for them calling it December. To me, just fix it in the contract so that you don't need this explainer that says, oh, when we say December, we mean this. Just put in what you actually mean. Oh, well. Either way, it's handled. Out-of-schedule premium. Article 8.4.B refers to the out-of-schedule premium provisions contained in ELM Section 434.6. They provide that out-of-schedule premium is paid at the postal overtime rate to eligible full-time bargaining unit employees for time worked outside of and instead of their regularly scheduled workday or work week when employees work on a temporary schedule at the request of management. Only full-time regular and full-time flexible carriers may receive out-of-schedule pay. However, this rule does not preclude part-time employees from receiving a monetary remedy for contractual scheduling violations when warranted by fact circumstances, e.g. violations of Article 41.2.B.4. A full-time flexible employee's regular schedule for the purpose of this provision is the schedule established the preceding Wednesday. All right, so this means that even if you're a CCA, like if you're on an opt, I'm not looking at it right now, but I presume that's what 41.2.B.4 is, that's your schedule. And so like if management screws up your opt and they make you work some other day, that's out of schedule. So there are a lot of circumstances under which carriers can wind up getting out of schedule pay. And it's basically when management screws up your schedule, they make you work sometime that you weren't supposed to work. And so that's out of schedule. I have a brief anecdote about that that I think is worth getting into. So we had an issue at one of our stations here in Vegas where there was a late posting of the routes that were up for bid. And so there was a vacation relief position that was supposed to be up for bid, but it wound up being delayed by like 2 months or whatever it was. We'll just say the details aren't important. So we'll just say it was delayed by 2 months. And then when that assignment finally went up for bid, one of the most senior carriers in the city bid on that vacation relief. And you think, like, why in the world would this super senior carrier bid on a vacation relief assignment? That's crazy. That's like the bottom of the barrel. So he bids on this vacation relief assignment. And then as soon as he takes over that assignment, his regular route that he just vacated is now vacated. There's nobody on it. And so because he's a vacation relief, he opts on his own old route. And so, of course, he has the most seniority of anybody who can opt. He opts on his route and he gets to carry his route. Well, because management was 2 months late in posting that available vacation relief assignment, the union makes the argument that for the last 2 months, he should have been doing this route that he bid on. But because you guys were late, he has been out of schedule for the last 2 months. And so during that entire time, when he wasn't on the schedule he should have been on, right? He should have been on the vacation relief schedule. Instead, he was working the schedule of his old route. So during that entire 2 months, he should have been getting paid out of schedule pay, which is an extra 50%. And so the union wins that grievance because management screwed up the bidding process. And so during the last 2 months, right, he was in practical matter, he was working his own route during that whole time. During that whole 2 months, he gets out of schedule pay. And then once he bids to the vacation relief, now he's still working his own route. Right now he's on regular pay. And then as soon as his route goes back up for bid, he just bids back to his old route. And of course he gets it because he's the tops in seniority. And so he never worked a single day off of his route. And yet he wound up getting 2 months of out of schedule pay because management screwed up and didn't post the route appropriately. And man, you talk about the benefit of knowing the rules. That was a pretty nice chunk of change just for knowing the rules because management is incompetent. That is beautiful stuff. All right. So now we go back to the JCAM. All right. Note also that that's not where I left off. An employee does not receive out of schedule pay when his or her schedule is changed to provide limited or light duty. And there's a citation here. When the employee is attending a recognized training session or when the employee is allowed to make up time due to tardiness in reporting for duty. And that's in ELM section 434.622. Note also that letter carriers who fill temporarily vacant carrier technician positions under the provisions of Article 25 assume the hours of the vacancy as provided by the pre-arbitration settlement, blah, 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 citation. It's M431, which states details of anticipated duration of 1 week, 5 working days within 7 calendar days or longer to temporary vacant carrier technician positions shall be filled per Article 25 of the 1981 National Agreement. When such temporary details involve a schedule change for the detailed employee, that employee will assume the hours of the vacancy without obligation to the employer for out-of-schedule overtime. And if you think about it, that it makes perfect sense. Like, you have essentially opted. I know it's not technically opting, but it's kind of the same idea. You opt on this carrier technician position. Well, you're choosing to go work that route, of that swing, and so you get those hours and it's not out of schedule. Rules for out of schedule premium. In the letter carrier craft, the out of schedule premium provisions are applicable only in cases where management has given advance notice of the change of schedule by Wednesday of the preceding service week. In all other cases, a full-time employee is entitled to work the hours of his or her regular schedule or receive pay in lieu thereof, and the regular overtime rules apply, not the out-of-schedule premium rules. If notice of a temporary change is given to a full-time employee by Wednesday of the preceding service week, even if this change is revised later, management has the right to limit the employee's work hours to the hours of the revised schedule, and out-of-schedule premium is paid for those hours worked outside of and instead of his or her regular schedule. If notice of a temporary schedule change is not given to a full-time employee by Wednesday of the preceding service week, the employee is entitled to work his or her regular schedule, and the out-of-schedule provisions do not apply. In this case, any hours worked in addition to the employee's regular schedule are not considered out-of-schedule premium hours. Instead, they are paid as overtime hours worked in excess of 8 hours per service day or 40 hours per service week. So management tells you, hey, next week, we're going to be coming in an hour early. Like, this will happen sometimes, you know, maybe the day after the holiday, where they'll say, hey, next week on Tuesday, we're all going to come in at 7 o'clock because we're expecting all this extra mail volume. So if you only work from 7 to 3:30, let's say you normally start at 8. So if you only work from 7 to 3:30, well, that time from 7 to 8 is out of schedule pay, and you should get an hour, you know, an extra 50% for that hour. If you wind up working from 7 a.m. to 6 p.m., then it's academic because that time is just overtime. You know, the extra hours that you worked outside of your schedule, you work the full 8 hours of your regular schedule, so those extra hours are just overtime. They don't, like, double up on each other. They don't pyramid, as it's called. Out-of-schedule premium hours cannot exceed the unworked portion of the full-time employee's regular schedule. If employees work their full regular schedule, then any additional hours worked are not instead of their regular schedule and are not considered out-of-schedule premium hours. Any hours worked which result in paid hours in excess of 8 hours per service day or 40 hours per service week are paid at the overtime rate. That's basically the same thing I just said. There's a little chart here that shows, like, a visual example of how that works. And if you want to see that chart, it is on page 8-6 in the JCAM. The following examples, which were, all right, I'm not going to go over these written descriptions of the examples. If you need to see the examples, go look in the JCAM. Weekly schedule example. For example, an employee's regular schedule is Monday through Friday, and she is given timely notice of a temporary schedule change to Sunday through Thursday with the same daily work hours. She works 8 hours per day, Sunday through Thursday. The hours worked on Sunday are out-of-schedule premium hours, provided they are worked instead of the employee's regularly scheduled Friday hours. However, if the employee also works her regular schedule on Friday, then there can be no out-of-schedule premium hours. The employee is paid overtime for the hours worked in excess of 40 during the service week. Voluntary schedule changes. There may be situations in which full-time employees wish to have their regular schedules temporarily changed for their own convenience. Out-of-schedule premium is not paid when a change in a full-time employee's schedule meets all three of the following criteria. 1. The requested change in schedule is for the personal convenience of the employee, not for the convenience of management. Note, arbitrator Gamzer held in case blah, 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 that management is not relieved of the obligation to pay out-of-schedule premium by informing employees who volunteered for higher-level assignments that such assignments would be considered to be at the request of the employee. Additionally, arbitrator Mittenthal determined in case blah, 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 that acting supervisors, 204B, or the employee supervisors in the grievances before him were, quote, entitled to the out-of-schedule premium during their details as temporary supervisors. They were entitled. He based his decision on an October 10th, 1975 Postal Service directive, which authorized the payment of out-of-schedule premium to acting supervisors, and the four-year practice of following that directive prior to the NLRB decision, which management believes supported a change in that policy. So, guys, this is worth noting. If you're a union steward and you have a 204B who's at your station, they are still members of the NALC. They are still carriers. They're simply acting as supervisors. And so while they're doing that, if their schedule changes, like maybe they have their 204B coming in at 3 in the morning. Well, that time, if it's not overtime, it's out of schedule time and they should be getting paid out of schedule for those hours. And you can file a grievance on behalf of that 204B and get them paid. Remember, we're not necessarily defending the person, we're defending the contract. And the contract says that these carriers are entitled to this pay. I know Michael has successfully filed a grievance like that that got a 204B paid a substantial amount of money. And you may have to hold your nose to file that sort of a grievance. But dude, we're defending the contract and management needs to pay when carriers are entitled to that pay. Next, the next provision. Two, the employee has signed a PS Form 3189 request for temporary schedule change for personal convenience. And three, management and the union's representative, normally the steward, agree to the change and both sign the PS Form 3189. All right, so if you do the 3189, you are not going to get paid out of schedule pay. 8.4. D, penalty overtime pay will be paid to full-time regular employees for any overtime work in contravention of the restrictions in Section 5.F. Penalty overtime entitlement for full-time employees. Excluding the penalty overtime exclusion period, a full-time employee receives penalty overtime pay at 2 times the base straight time rate, Article 8.4.C, for work beyond the limits stated in Article 8.5.F, which are overtime worked on more than 4 of the employee's 5 scheduled days in a service week, work over 10 hours on a regularly scheduled day, work over 8 hours on a non-scheduled day, or work over 6 days in a service week. This provision applies only to full-time regular and full-time flexible employees. So if you're a CCA and you work 6 days, that 6 days is just another day of work. And the only way it's going to be overtime is if you're over four, or the only way it's going to be penalty overtime is if it brings you over 56 hours. Penalty overtime for other, that's probably what it's going to say right here. Penalty overtime for other employees. Oh, no, wait, I'm sorry. 8.4.E. Excluding December, part-time flexible employees will receive penalty overtime pay for all work in excess of 10 hours in a service day or 56 hours in a service week. The preceding paragraph, Article 8.4.E, shall apply to city carrier assistant employees. So there you go. You're going to hit that 56 hours if you want it to be penalty overtime. Penalty overtime for other employees. Excluding the penalty overtime exclusion period, Article 8.4.E requires the payment of penalty overtime at 2 times the base time straight time rate, Article 8.4.C, for all work beyond 10 hours in a service day or 56 hours in a service week. Article 8.4.E applies to PTFs and CCAs. Part-time regulars are in the same category as PTFs for penalty overtime purposes. 8.4.F. Whenever 2 or more overtime or premium rates may appear applicable to the same hour or hours worked by an employee, there shall be no pyramiding or adding together of such overtime or premium rates, and only the higher of the employee's applicable rates shall apply. No pyramiding of overtime rates. Because Article 8.4.F prohibits the pyramiding or adding together of overtime and premium rates, it generally results in a ceiling on postal overtime of 2 times the employee's base rate, the penalty overtime rate, which is the highest premium pay rate. However, night shift differential, Article 8.7, is added to overtime premium rates because the night shift differential is not a premium for the purposes of this section. Employees receiving Christmas work pay, Article 11.4.B, also receive applicable night differential and Sunday premiums, ELM Exhibit 434.8. 8.4.G, and this is going to be the last one because then we get into 8.5 and that's going to be another episode. All right, 8.4.G. G, for any hours worked beyond 12 hours in a service day or 60 hours in a service week, the employee is to be paid at the rate of 2.5 times the base hourly straight time rate. This is new. The preceding paragraph, Article 8.4.F and 8.4.G shall apply to city carrier assistants. So again, anything over 12 in a day or 60 in a week is paid at 2.5 times the base rate. Any employee who works beyond 12 hours in a day or 60 hours in a service week shall be paid the rate of 2.5 times the base hourly straight time rate. There you go. That is the end of Article 8.4. That is the end of this episode. And guys, we did it. We are learning more about the contract, about our overtime rules, and this empowers you as a carrier to stand up for your rights and to make sure that you're getting paid properly and to make sure you're getting treated properly and to make sure that on your non-scheduled day, you're not on standby and you don't have to answer the phone, right? If you're a CCA, that's one of the biggest takeaways from here. So that's all I got for you today. Thank you guys for listening, and I will catch you all next time.